Coming into this week for the pod, I get these urges every so often to make everything more vital and be more professional with the pod again, get it on networks, everything. But
Yeah.
anyway, it's
Only if I get laid off and I need money, and then we can try to monetize it. But
yeah. I mean,
I'm still.
I keep thinking about that. But anyway, this is the April version of the subs bench. Anyway, we're I when I looked at for some of the scheduled stuff for the week, and I was kind of glad that we don't do this every week anymore because I was running out I we would run out of ideas and we'd run, but there's enough fun out there. Well, anyway, I was looking over the power rankings for MLS because I for someone because I unlike other years with MLS, where I could at this time of the year go, all right, Kansas City Royals are done. They've already lost. And there's a month into the baseball season. And the Timberwolves are out of the playoffs. No problem. I get a year where the Timberwolves are the lead, are have the best record in the NBA. I've never seen that. I've been a fan since they started in 1989. That one's weird. And the Royals are actually good for the first time in 5 years. So I.
Well, then I'll give the Royals credit, for a small market team, which they are. I mean, they have been the one of the few that have been able to actually go out and win World Series. I mean, it's the problem with a small market team, you have that great run and you win, then you lose all your players because everybody comes and signs up for big money and you got to start over. But they've been able to do that, so
Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing with being the small market. That's why kind of I like places like Columbus in MLS is that the Royals outside of the last couple of years of David Glass's presidency are able to get through one or two good enough players in the draft. I mean, and they struck gold on Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, he was able to come up within about a year and start being really good. Now, granted, he didn't have much minor league because when he was drafted, it was COVID, so they had him stashed at one of the parks in Kansas City, so he really hasn't had that much of a chance. But looking into that, and my family has wanted me to get back into the NBA for decades because I went to all those games in the 90s and really stopped listening at that point. Because again, once Kevin Garnett left the Timberwolves, there was nothing there. So now that they're good in the season after my dad dies, I'm like, great. I'm like, great. Now I'm going to have to actually pay attention more because it's made me think of writing a basketball book now. So
Oh, there you go.
yeah, I'm thinking about it. This is going to be kind of a challenge, but
Yeah, I
anyway,
just finished
so
a good sports book. I read Boys in the Boat. I don't know if you've read it. You
oh,
should.
that's a
It's fantastic.
brilliant book.
And it's a great history lesson of USA and the world in that time frame because I had no idea when I got into it that they would go into talking about Germany, how it was in the 30s, and the rise of Hitler and all that. It was fantastic. So, and
Yeah,
then
it
the
is.
movie was good. It was really good, but the book was on another level.
Yeah, and that's the Washington University of Washington brew team, so
Right, and the Huskies are a phenomenal, I mean a crew. They always have, their crews are traditionally one of the best in the country. My son-in-law won five national titles when he was there, so
because don't they still have that boat at
Yeah, I think it's at the
the
Conover Shell House now. I think
yeah.
that's where it's at. I was actually in use for a long time. I was at PLU, which isn't far from where I live. It's in Pacific Lutheran. They had it on loan, and then the University of Washington wanted it back, and then now they decided to display it. So,
That
yeah,
that's
it's cool.
yeah, I mean, as much crap as the West Coast gets is being later with a lot of history. There's a lot of fun if you really look at like Seattle and the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of not almost even sports related. There's enough history up there.
Yeah,
that makes it worth it. I mean, it's not going to be set. It's not going to be Boston type because.
And the Seattle of today with the tech and all that, Boeing, it was a much different Seattle in, you know, the 30s and below. I mean, it was still a rough and tumble, you know, logging town, you know, fishing, you know, it was all that kind of stuff, you know. And then, you know, Hooverville with all the people that were, you know, during the Depression. And so, I mean, it's kind of cool just to see a glimpse into what Seattle was like then. And I had no idea how big that sport was like in the East. You know, it was like big time, you know, and that they race in Poughkeepsie on the Hudson. And I asked this, yeah, they don't do that anymore. They don't go on the Hudson anymore. You know, how it's evolved, but it's still a thing. It's still a viable, it's still a big sport at the UW, you know, at least in this area. You know, my other son-in-law did it as a kid as well. You know, so.
Yeah. And I've got cousins that, do club crew in Chicago. So,
yeah. I mean, all you need is some water and some people wanting to row. So,
yeah. And both sides of my family grew up on the water. I technically did, but I haven't been on a boat or in the water for 20 years. So,
yeah. We didn't have water of that nature where I grew up in Nebraska. We had a river. We couldn't be rowing a canoe. We could do a canoe, but. You know, you couldn't really race. You're busy dodging barbed wire fences that ranchers put across the river, you know, because their land crossed the river. We did a float down the river, and we had the lead canoe had to go ahead and hoist up the barbed wire with his oar, and we all could slip under it. So, and then we carried on.
That's what people miss about the Midwest and Nebraska is kind of the is Tom Sawyer and all that was not really fiction. A lot of that was true.
Oh no, that's probably true. So the characters' names were changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading around on MLS.soccer.com, and I was seeing as you were talking in the pre-show about the crew. I mean.
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, what is it? The third straight coach that has them off and flying. I mean, Caleb Porter got a title with them.
Yeah.
They had titles before. I mean, now they're doing Ziggy. Well again.
They won a title with Ziggy.
Yeah.
And then they won a title with Porter. And then Nancy is the coach now. I mean, their league position right now isn't great. I mean, they're in fourth place, but, you know, I'm sure they're prioritizing the Champions League right now. You know, they've only lost once this season. They're 3 wins, 5 draws. You know, Miami is first place right now, but I'm still not bullish on Inter Miami once the dog days of summer hit. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll keep it together, but I don't know. I think that team's pretty wafer thin when you get past the old guys. And then they got hammered. When they played in the Champions League against Mexico. So I think Columbus, I mean, it's Monterrey. It's going to be tough. Monterrey is always tough. But, you know, they got as good a chance as anybody. So I definitely want to take care of business in Columbus.
Yeah.
You know, you win. They beat Tigres. So, you know, that says a lot too because, you know, Tigres with Gignac is always good, you know, and you know, they've shown they can get a result in Mexico, which is half the battle. You know, they won in PKs, which I think it's the first time an MLS team's won a PK shootout in Mexico. I don't know if we've had a whole lot, but you know, so they're right there. Yeah, that team does look good. I mean, I hope they do well. And they did that last game. They didn't have Morris because he was suspended. They were went into that game against Tigres really shorthanded because of yellow cards or red cards or whatever. And they had a couple of guys suspended. I think it was their backup goalkeeper. Might not have been. That one I can't remember. No, it was Schulte. So it was a regular goalkeeper. But, you know, he was fantastic. You know, saved a couple of penalties. You know, and you get a goalkeeper that saved more than one in those first five, you're in good shape. So my good thing going into a PK is, like, hope your goalie can make one or get one save, because generally the advantage is all on the shooter. Goalkeepers have no pressure on them, I don't think, because no one expects them to do anything except get beat. So if you can save one, you've already done your job. And if you save two, great. You know, then you have a little margin for error, which I don't know, sometimes might be not good for the shooters. Like, oh, I can relax now. And then bam, instantly gives one up. Because that happens a lot of times in shootouts. You get a guy, they're up 2-0 or whatever. They get that next goal. The shootout's pretty much done. So whoever that shooter is, I think he tends to, oh, yeah, we got it. And then bam, he doesn't make it. And then it's back on. You know, then it's all to play for. You know, so.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, now that we have had a team like your Seattle Sounders go and win the Champions League, mm-hmm. it would be fun to start stacking together more and more wins. I do not want it to be Inter Miami. I have nothing against any of the players that are down there or
I don't want it to be Miami. Jerseys.
It just, they're too new. They're too. I would say the same thing about LAFC and Nashville.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, maybe I don't see Nashville enough. They don't really get under my skin as much as Inter, or I haven't really seen them that much at all either. But yeah, LAFC, just because I don't like them. I mean, they're good, but I don't like their attitude. And, you know, you hear when they're doing well, man, they are the greatest football team that ever lived. You know, Barcelona who? You know, Real Madrid who? It's all LAFC. And when they get beat, it's all, they always got some excuse why they lost. You know, Trundle talking about, oh, it's too much to ask these guys. You know, our squads aren't deep enough. Yeah, you're right. They're not. But you know what? That's the rules, man. That's the world you live in. You just have to make do of the world you live in. You know, and you think it's tough now. Think about early in the deck in the century, you know, when DC United would go, and those good DC United teams, not the Etcheverry ones, but the ones after, like with Gomez and they would go into Mexico and they're automatically playing for a draw and just not to get, or just to not get hammered, mm-hmm. you know, because Mexico is notorious about, especially if they had the second leg at home, they're notorious about sending their lower teams, you know, there's a lot of reserves to the U.S. And because they didn't care. So, yeah, we win. Great. We lose. Ah, we'll just get them at home. And they generally would. I remember when we went to Tigres and played. Alan Pulido was on that team. But that was, God, what was it, 2013, 2014, right around there. I think Eddie Johnson was on the team. And we lost in Monterrey. And they came back, and we were down. It was like 1-0, or it was 2-0 we lost. And we, it was 1-0. So we got second goal being scored here, and now they're up 2-0. So now we need 3 goals to win. And they'd brought like a reserve team. And then they got a red card right at the end of the half. And then we scored 3 goals and won 3-2. But yeah, they figured it was done, and they sent good play. I mean, Pulido was on that team, but they didn't send their first choice. And you would see a lot of those, especially like friendlies when the Mexican teams would come. They'd have the numbers, the players with triple-digit numbers, like 105 or whatever. Because when Tijuana came up here, I'm looking, 105? What the hell kind of number is that? Ah, just some academy guy they brought up for the game. Here, here's your number. It's like the old NASCAR PlayStation game, and you'd build your own car, and the numbers available would be like 107, 106, and, you know. Yeah, all right, sure. So, yeah. And they were still good. That's the thing. Those academy, especially back then, I don't know now, Mexico seems to have fell off the rails a little bit when it comes to football. I mean, at the national team level, you can't say it's good luck when the USA wins now. We pretty much dominate now, which is crazy, you know. But. When was the last time we lost? It's been like 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, and especially with a couple of those cup wins that Berhalter has been able to pull in.
Yeah. Now, you can dislike Berhalter all you want, but man, you got to give him credit. He did what Klinsmann couldn't do. He learned that and Arena did it too. So did Bradley. You boss the region and then you go from there. And Klinsmann wanted to boss the world, forgot about his own backyard, and said, before you can boss the world, you have to get out of the backyard. And, you know, he couldn't get out of the backyard. That's why he got fired. And Berhalter definitely can boss the region. I mean, he's got Mexico's number. What we won back-to-back Nations Leagues. We won the Gold Cup with a B team, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know. I know it's not as sexy as winning World Cup. Now, I'm interested to see how we do in Copa America. You know, I'm not one of those guys that thinks his job's in jeopardy, unless they just get poleaxed and they get hammered and they look bad. You know, but I would have a hard time saying, well, he just won the Nations League in this tournament. Yeah, you want to do well, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't help for your qualifying. It's just all for the eye test. You know, and qualifying's gonna start here in the next year or so, even though we don't have to qualify. That's the weird part.
Yeah, I mean, he literally can roll out the U20s.
You could.
Because it's being hosted here. So,
right.
I mean, obviously you want to go in doing well so you represent, because you don't want to bow out in groups in your own
region. No, it's only happened once.
Yeah.
All right. South Africa, I think, was the one team that didn't get out of the group in their group at the World Cup. So.
Now, I mean, I've been thinking about this with World Cup coming here in a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
2 years. This would be ultimately one of the funnier ones if England won it here in the United States.
That would be.
I mean, they're good again.
They are.
They're good. They have a manager. Now, I'm kind of biased because I wrote my third book is about one of the teams he played for. But I have no ill. I mean, I would have no problem after Berhalter left if Gareth Southgate came here.
Right. Yeah. I heard a rumor that Jesse Marsh might be taking the Canada job. That would be interesting.
I would like to see Jesse Marsh have a national team.
Yeah.
Before
I thought Herdman's done well at Canada though, but I think he's a club manager now, so
yeah. I would love to see once because he's young enough that he can he can replace Berhalter.
Yeah. Yeah, but and I think there's no love lost between those two. So
no, I mean I don't know if they don't like each I don't know what the relationship between those two is. But at the same
time, he's pretty outspoken in the Nations League when they barely got through the one game. I watched that game and said, well, you had to get a lucky own goal. Yeah, okay, maybe. But I watched that game. It wasn't like we just weren't scoring, but we are dumb. We carried a lot of play. We had a lot of possession. We had a lot of great chances. And Andre Blake made a lot of great saves. Well, we just shot it over, you know. And, you know, the own goal wasn't just Jamaica putting in their own net. I mean, we had them under some serious pressure. Still, glad it went in, but I don't like it when they leave it that late. But then I think once the extra time hit, you kind of saw what was happening the whole game, but they just started finishing the chances. I think Jamaica got that early goal and said, all right, great. And they're just bunkered in and let's hope to get out of here. And then we'll deal with it later. You know, because they don't have a lot of varied options in attack. And if Leon Bailey's not playing, that's a big gun that, you know, you think about some of their stripe players they get, they still dig players out of the USL. And that's not bad, but, you know, it's not as deep as, you know, or the lower levels of English football. It's not getting them out of the top flight, you know. But they have a few in the top flight, but they have a lot that come out of, you know, Major League Soccer, which isn't, you know, that's okay. But they USL, you know, people like, one thing I'll say about Major League Soccer, people like to say, oh, you know, it's not good enough for the U.S. national players to play in this league and then play in you know, international football. But if Major League Soccer has done anything, it's helped raise the level of all these other countries in CONCACAF, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Jamaica, because a lot of their players play in this league and their national programs have benefited because of it. You know, I think that was an unintended or an un, not unintended, but a benefit to the region that we didn't think of when the league was formed. But yeah, you know, a lot of opportunities for Central American players, which never had that before, you know, at least gave those Central American managers reasons to start digging into family trees to find eligible players that are American that could play for their team, like Alex Roldan for El Salvador, or Daniel Steris is another American player that played for El Salvador.
Yeah.
And they had a goalkeeper played for El Salvador who played on that Cal FC team that beat Portland and then lost to Sounders in the Open Cup, and their goalkeeper was fantastic.
Hmm.
He went to El Salvador to play after that and I think represented El Salvador in some Gold Cups or qualifying matches or UNCAF matches or whatever. So.
Exactly, and that's the fun thing about CONCACAF is that there's enough. Mm-hmm. Because the security forces of the Western world have not been nice to these small countries, there's enough. There's enough people that have settled their roots down. I mean, half of Jamaica could turn out for England. Most of the West Southern Hemisphere could turn out for us. So,
yeah, that's true.
And then, I mean, that was the thing. I heard on listening to the Total Soccer Show that you guys up at Seattle just had a pretty bad injury come through.
We've had a lot of injuries. I know De La Vega's been hurt. He got hurt, literally, he got hurt right before he came. He's the big signing, kind of a Ladero replacement, you know, young guy, you know, kind of a, he seems like a good player. I've only seen him play a bit. Saw him a little, because he got hurt. And he got hurt in Argentina, and he comes, and he's training, he's great. And then he got hurt in the one game. And then he's been training, and now he's got like a hamstring issue, and he aggravated it, so who knows when he's coming back. And like, I was talking to my kid about it today when we actually went and watched Sounders training. So, and he said, yeah, and we saw him training off by himself. And, he goes, the thing about hamstrings, man, a lot of times you just manage it during the season and you deal with it in the off season. And then, like, we've just got a lot of injuries. Reed Baker Whiting's been hurt all year. And, you know, he's a young kid, but could challenge for playing time because I think he's might not be as good a shutdown defender as Nuhu, but he brings a lot more going forward. And I think Cody Baker's kind of the same. He brings a lot more going forward than Nuhu. Nuhu's a great lockdown defender, but it's always an adventure when he goes forward, you know. Yeah, and now we're down two men for the DC game because Reagan got a red card. I don't really have an issue. I didn't have an issue with Alex Roldan's red card at all. That was just, I'm frustrated. I'm angry. We're getting jobbed. whatever, you know, I'm pissed. I'm just taking this guy out. He took him out and was heading off the field before the guy even got the card out. But the red card on Reagan was right at the end, right towards the end of the first half. And yeah, I think it was clumsy. I don't think he meant it. He definitely got him like mid part of the shin. But they only gave him a yellow, and then they went and VAR'd it. And it took 5 minutes of study for them to change their mind. And I'm thinking, that's too long, man. If it takes that long, it's not clear and obvious. And, of course, we went nuts. Crowd went nuts because, you know, it didn't look at speed. It just looked like, yeah, it's a challenge. No big deal. I think if they would have been probably okay with a yellow, it wasn't egregious. The guy wasn't hurt. You know, he flopped around like he was hurt, but then he was up playing. You know, he was flopping a lot. I was sick of that guy by the end of the game. But yeah, they just don't score. That's a problem. They scored 5 goals against Montreal. I went, oh wow, this is great. Maybe they figured it out. And then nothing against Vancouver. The sad part about the Vancouver game wasn't even, you take the 2 red cards out, yeah, that sucks. But they gave both those goals away. It wasn't anything Vancouver had done. It was like, let's give you the ball. We're down a man at that point. We'll give you the ball at the top of the box, and then you just score it. You know, Yamar and Obed Vargas played patty cake in their own 18-yard box until they turned it over, and then Vancouver scored. And Javier Arriaga, who got traded yesterday, I don't think it had anything to do with that. Tried to dribble, you know, past a couple of defenders and lost the ball, and then they scored. And now we're down 2-0. You know, great.
You are literally repeating word for word what the MLS,
wow,
game report is for that Vancouver Seattle game.
Oh, really?
Literally, I'm looking at it going, I know he's written articles before, but this is freaking cool.
No, I didn't write that one.
No, it's probably David. I don't know if David Gass is still there. I know he's part of.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know. I know Doyle's still there and Andrew Wiebe's still there.
Yeah.
I was actually interested to see what they would say on instant replay, but I don't know if they do that anymore.
I don't know. I mean, I know they've folded a bunch of stuff into SiriusXM for a bit. So it's. But I mean, I don't even think Wiebe still lives in New York City. I think he's back out in Kansas, which is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know he'd moved back when he had a kid and, you know, decided Brooklyn is not where he wanted to raise his kids. He wanted to raise them back in the heartland. So, it was a rough game. So, you know, I don't know it's first time I think since Schmetzer's been there where there's been some people calling for his head. So, yeah.
No, Schmetzer's weird, not old, right?
No, he's like a year older than me. So he's like 61.
So
not old. But yeah, him and Adrian have been like a working partnership for like 21 years, you know, go way back to the USL and on. You know, they've been together a long time. So I don't think that would matter. I think if Adrian thinks he needs to make a change, I don't think that's going to stop him from making it. I just don't know if you need to make one at this point because, you know, they are lacking some attacking options. So, you know, I think if they can hold, I think they might just try to hold on to the summer window. And because I think now with Arriaga off the books, that was a big salary for a essentially third or fourth strike center back. I think they have like $1 million they can play with.
Oh, nice.
So they can find somebody, you know. Ramiro Diaz has been better than he was last year, but he's got 4 goals. One goal in the run of play, the rest are all PKs. So, you know, we definitely have to.
Yeah,
my thing is they have to be more decisive in the final third. Because if one thing they do, they can dominate between the middle, you know, the middle part of the field, but when they get in the final third, they, you know, they're not decisive, and that kills them, you know. So
Yeah, you know, especially with it being near the end of the European calendar, where there will be players that are out of contract that will come
Yeah.
over. And yes, Seattle's a big name, but it's you have the advantage with Seattle that it is, and I mean, you know this being there since God longer than I've been alive. Is that it's one of those cool towns you can pitch lifestyle to.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Just don't ride the light rail after a game.
Well, but I
A
mean, if you say,
few.
yeah, if you say that to the Brits, it's the same thing. I mean,
I mean, I have seen some, lack of a better word, I have seen some shit, literally and figuratively, on the light rail on the way home from games. It's just like, Jesus, really? Okay, I learned, sit up at the in the car as close as you can where the conductor is, and the, you know, because less shenanigans. The farther back you get, oh, it's the Wild West. Now that being said, I never feel unsafe going on them. It is unnerving when you see the security guys that walk the platform or on the trains, and they have bulletproof vests on. I mean, but I think that's the age we live in. The security guards at my work, they wear bulletproof vests now too, and it's a weapons-free building officially. So, you know,
but
no guns allowed. So,
unofficially, we know the FBI up in Seattle is not following by that haven't been following by that rule since the 70s, but that's
yeah, well,
I won't get into that one. I mean,
yeah.
Marley
But
family.
I think I've seen, you know, I mean, I think I've seen like officials, you know, like King County Jail officials, if they've had prisoners in the hospital, you know, I've seen them in there. I don't think they have guns or not. I can't remember. But, they're prison guard. I'll give them a pass, you know, or written police, whatever. They probably can say, yeah, I'm not leaving my gun in the car. So,
I wouldn't do that even in Skaneateles, New York, and
no.
that's a very small place, so
Yeah.
that's not really saying much. You know, it was fun watching the FA Cup in the last week and seeing that Haji Wright is actually coming true. I mean, I just read he broke the transfer record for Coventry City
Yeah,
to
he's
come.
doing well.
And he's doing well. I mean, to get Coventry City to a semi-final of the FA Cup and beat the championship, that is cool. That is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, oh man, I was hoping they were gonna pull that off against Man United, but now, who do you want? I mean, you want, it's a Manchester Derby in the final, so I have to go with City, not United. Let's
Yeah, I mean,
go.
it looked like it was going to come to, if you had talked to me in January, it looked like it was going to come down to Klopp was going to be able to pick his cups that he was going to win
Yeah.
towards the end. Now, I mean, he got the Carling Cup, so that's fun, Carling League, whatever they call it at this point. And they were still in the Europa League. They still ironically have a chance at the title, even though they just lost again today and saved Everton.
Yeah.
Not fun, not fun. But
No.
I mean, this is. I thought, oh, here they're going to go for the quadruple. Klopp sends it out the right way and goes on. It's all falling apart for them.
Yeah.
All falling apart. I mean, you're looking at Klopp going, you should have not even mentioned this, that you were retired, that you were leaving. Should have
Yeah.
just saved it at the end. Said, oh yeah, this is my brought in more cups and said, hey, yeah, by the way, this was my end.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. I'm looking at Wright's career, man. He's put in a lot of goals for, you know, took him a while to get started in Europe, but once he got going, I think he must have grown up in Germany, because he played youth at Schalke. You know, so I think he might be one of those serviceman children. But you know, since he hit whatever that team is, the Scandinavian team and the Turkish team in Coventry, man, he's double digits every year in goals. So, you know.
Yeah, I think that's because I'm pretty sure he's a Klinsmann guy.
Yeah, he might be.
And because I remember he did go through the Cosmos in their last.
Yes, he won it. That's his only trophy. It's with the Cosmos. Other than mate. No, I don't know if he played in the Gold Cup or anything like that. So.
Oh, he's been out for a while, but that's
he's only 26. That's a thing, you know.
I mean, and that screw up of the NASL at the last part. I mean, the Rowdies own the striker's name.
Mm-hmm.
The Roughnecks, the Tulsa Roughnecks came back, or whatever the Tulsa team was, came back. The Cosmos are gone again. I mean, that was kind of like,
what did they have? Because they had two teams in Tulsa. Remember when the USL and the NASL were kind of battling for space, and Tulsa had two teams, one in each league? Well, that's not going to work. Yeah. Because then San Diego or San Francisco Deltas win the league and then go out of business that same year.
And they were fine. I mean, I love the San Francisco City FC because I still follow them, even though I should talk to them. But they throw out jerseys all the time. The Oakland Roots are doing well. I mean, I see all this stuff, and it's the same retort we have every month, is that the lower leagues are doing well. I didn't know if you had seen it, because I know you follow them, but have you seen the newest uniforms for FC Buffalo?
I have not. I just wore my FC Buffalo jacket the other day.
The newest ones will tug at the heartstrings of 1980s Duffy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to – you'll look at it and see – you'll see what I'm saying with this one, and it's – it's kind of cool. I was gonna message Nick on it and say you really hit the ballpark on this one, but it's the same part with the lower leagues, is that we're seeing all of this fun. And
is that the red ones and the white ones with that big stripe, kind of that Zumaz stripe down the middle?
Yup, those are
those are cool.
Those are the Zumbas. From 87 to 2001.
Grant, I never owned any of that kind of stuff, but yeah, those are cool looking.
Did I tell you who I actually came up with Zumbas?
No.
You remember the Road Warriors?
Oh yeah.
That was them.
Really? Wow, that's crazy.
I was listening to Cornette a while ago, and he said, Because all of everybody that is with the Road Warriors is long gone. Because I mean, Hawk and Animal have been dead for Animal's been dead for almost 20 years at this point, and Hawk is within the last
just like the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I mean, Hawk is a Laurinaitis, so there's other family with that, but they did that on the side in the '80s. Just because they liked that type of stuff and didn't think it was going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cornette was like, I looked at it once going, oh, this is going to go big. I didn't expect I was going to still be seen in 2020. I'd still be wearing them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. Is Precious Paul Ellering still – he might have been the only one that would still be alive, but I don't know if he is. So.
He's still a manager.
Mm.
That's
a big yes then.
Ellering looks really good right now. I mean, legitimately really good. And His daughter is a title winner somewhere right now.
Wow, yeah, he's only 70, so.
Yeah, but look. I mean, he does not look 70.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he looks your age. He's back with the WWE right now. In fact, he's been on contract with them for over 20 years. So, I mean, go figure.
Yeah, no, he looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Kevin Sullivan. He looks pretty good, too, and he is getting up there.
Yeah. I mean, so. But when you're like 4'2" in person.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sullivan was as wide as he was tall, you know.
His stuff, the Taskmaster Talks pod, is brilliant. Because
yeah, I remember reading Mick Foley's book, and when he turned heel and he was going independent, and he's just like, man, I can't do that because I turn heel. You know, heels don't make any money on the road because a lot of the independents, they make money selling merchandise. And the guy who was selling him on the thing to go heel, he goes, are you kidding me? Kevin Sullivan, because he had to turn on Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan's the least sympathetic figure in this business. They're going to love you for going heel on him. And he was right. You know.
Oh, yeah. Sullivan's still around. Still, he still shows up every so often in those vignettes and stuff. He just routinely in like last year or so.
Yeah.
Showed up somewhere. I'm like, what the hell? But anyway, you know, it's getting to the top of the hour on this, but, you know, we saw Sergio Dest go get his knee. Oh, but you know who's sitting out and ready to go? Tim Ream, the Duffy Alverson of the U.S. National.
I just saw a thing about him, and it was apparently when the Fulham got a new manager. This was years ago, and they said to him, "You can just leave. I don't want you." And he's like, "Okay, when do I show up for training?" He showed up for training. He hasn't left, you know. I talk about a guy whose career has went in a huge resurgence. I mean, he went from, Tim Ream, oh, God, really? To, wow, he's our best center back. You know, the guy is just the ageless wonder. You know, talk about life begins at 30 for him. I mean, he's been great.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, he's outlasted all the other USA people at Fulham. I mean,
he's 36.
He's 36. I mean, Russ Goldman is ending his podcast after 15 years, the Fulham pod. People are U.S. going away. But Tim Ream could be the one that keeps in the Copa America this year. I mean, that's unreal. You have players who have retired from their international teams at 30.
Yeah.
He will likely retire after 40.
Yeah, he could. I mean, I hate to say, he's maybe he can't work play at that top level anymore. He's in the Premier League, can't get much higher than that, you know. And Fulham doesn't look like they're in any danger of going down. The Premier League, not so much the top of the race, it's been good, but the bottom, it's been crazy because of all the points deductions. And one thing I've liked about that whole mess is Leicester's not is fighting back, you know, because I think a lot of this financial fair play stuff doesn't hurt the big clubs, but it kills the little clubs trying to compete. I mean, Leicester, I think Leicester's owner is pretty, they were pretty well off. I don't know if it's the same family after the owner got killed in the helicopter crash. I don't know if it's still that same family, but they had plenty of money. And did quite well. I mean, you can't really fault them for what they did. They won the league, and then they were good after for a little while, and then they, you know, like any team.
Didn't they get like an FA Cup or like a community shield?
They won the FA Cup. They won the league, then they won the FA Cup, and then they did that run in the Champions League, which was really good. And they got to the Champions League, and then they went out in like the final eight. You know, so they did quite well.
Yeah.
It just, they didn't win it, but okay. You know.
I mean, that's still one of those unreal runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they're not a small town team. They have history.
Yeah.
So, but it's still, you look back at that, I mean, we're probably coming up on the nth Big Six team winning the EPL. I mean, if it's Arsenal, if it's Liverpool, or if Man City finally gets in gear this year. I mean, the closest team that isn't a Big Six to them is Aston Villa. Yeah. And they've got a European title on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's...
See, maybe Tim think he would come back and play at St. Louis. That'd be a natural. He went to the University of St. Louis. Yeah. You know, maybe. But I don't know. When he gets done playing in England, it's going to be like 38 years old. So, And he's not cheap. I mean, he's not expensive. He makes I was looking at his salary. He makes like 1.04 million, which isn't high. It's not even. I mean, according to another thing I was reading, the average wage of a Fulham player is 2.4 million, and so he's under that. But
yeah, you know,
still $1 million a year.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah, and it's still fun. I mean, and they're that's the real highlight of the pre-expansion of the internet is Fulham. Yeah. How many Fulham fans we know that aren't connected to the sport? I mean, there's people that I see. I mean, and I'm almost tempted to get a Fulham jersey just for the. Just for the hell of it. I do have to replace a Celtic jersey at this point. But at this point, I mean, you see some of these smaller teams that have come over and done well.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder why there aren't other teams that aren't like, okay, they did it once. We may not need a U.S. international, but hey, if we get our hands in the States, it might really work for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I remember Fulham, especially when they were, you know, they're loaded. Bocanegra, McBride, Dempsey. You know, I mean, they had a boatload of Americans. They were America's team, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what's fun. I mean, Everton tried that for a bit. Liverpool is owned by it. I mean, that's what I mean. The narrative around Wrexham hasn't been as annoying this year, and I'm glad they're keep going up because I like smaller teams, especially the Welsh. We don't have as much the Welsh. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't hate their ownership group. At all. I mean,
Wrexham's,
Reynolds
and McElmain.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
oh, I don't. I love Always Sunny, so
they're kind of just there. I hope it makes it for those two. Outside of the fact that I want Blake Lively in a Wrexham jersey,
I lost you.
I want Blake Lively. Blake Lively in a Wrexham jersey because she's a riot when it comes to her husband and all of soccer, but still. Anyway, it's coming 8:00 and I'm sure your dogs are getting kind of fun and your wife is coming home. So we wrap it up for the month.
All right. Yeah.
But hopefully next month when we get back together, we'll have more U.S. national team.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Stuff. And we will have, or something stupid will happen because it's soccer.
Yeah.
And something.
That'll work too.
Yeah.
That'll work too.
Exactly. Well, have fun and we'll talk to you guys all later.
All right. Sounds good. All right.